there was five of us, not counting Ramon Coelho, that went to the Dominican Republic for 7 days. And we got back about, well, I got back about 10 o'clock Wednesday night. And I say this every time, but I think it's true every time. I think this was the best trip yet. They just keep getting better, you know, and going to a higher level. And so each person is, they're all here. I wasn't sure if Brian was going to come. I'd heard at the last moment Tom was coming. I'm so glad you're here. Tom is, he is a consultant in the nursery, and he works on a regular basis for Chad. And he also has his own business manufacturing nursery supplies. So if he wants to go in and give you more detail on that, he can. I didn't understand. If he had told me before this trip, I wouldn't have understood. He goes, I do special pots for plants. I'm like, oh, like, I didn't say this because I knew it would have been dumb, but, oh, like the plastic ones you buy at Walmart. No, 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 no. These are special ones. And but they're all going to share. But I had several people ask me, and so I'm going to spend about 5 or 6 minutes, not very long, and then let them share. Evidently, over time, I've not done a good job of why we're doing what we're doing or how we're doing it. So I just want to spend 5 or 6 minutes. There is a method to our madness most of the time. And so this is the third major country we've invested in. I started over probably 24 years ago. Been working with Ramon now closely for about 6 years. And so this is our method. If you put up that first just simple slide, this is how we work. And it's not just with churches overseas. This is how I work with churches here. As you know, we started about 8 or 9 years ago what's called the Roundtable of Pastors, Roundtable of Ministries. There's about 10 ministries in it. I work with them regularly. I do the same thing. I went to Knoxville this weekend. I do the same thing. But we've got three steps that I always run through: relationship, vision, and then strategy. And so many times missions comes into a place or comes into a church and you go, this is what we're going to do to help you. I see your problem and we're going to fix it. And that's okay. I've done that in the past, but we haven't done that for a long time. What I do is I say, Lord, who do you want me to work with? Who do you want me to connect with? And I look for divine connections. And because as pastors, you get calls all the time all over the country. They find you on Facebook. They find you on Instagram. They find your website, and they're always asking for help. And I'm sure they need help, but we can't give that much help. So I've always prayed for divine connections. And I've always prayed for a man, as it says in Matthew 25, when the disciples were released to go into evangelism, go into the city that you're assigned, look for a man who is worthy, who is a man that is of peace. In other words, he knows the culture, he knows the language. Work under him because things will just happen so much faster, and it's his ministry. And so I won't go into a lot of details, but with Ramon many years ago when we had a thrift store here, Lynette Young was running it. She came into my office one day. I work as a software developer remote over here. She goes, you need to meet this guy. He happens to be in Dalton. Ramon's a Dominican. And I go, no, I blew her off. No, I don't have time. I could have made time, but I was, I guess, sort of busy. Another day, she comes in. He came back in and goes, Craig, you need to talk to her. Basically, I blew her off again. Because you get requests a lot. The third time, like sometime later, she came in, almost grabbed me by the collar and go, Craig, this is God. So I finally actually prayed about it. And the Lord said, because we'd worked some in Dominican Republic, and I thought that was over with. He goes, no, this is your next place you're supposed to work. So it was a divine connection, even though I was slow. So if you miss it, it's okay. God gives you second and even third chances. And it was a great connection. So we did the relationship thing. And then what we do is we don't come in and go, we do this or that. What I do is go, what is your vision? What do you want to accomplish? Listen to them, and then see if there's a way that we can cross-connect and help them. If his vision or something is not something we can help them with as a group, because we've taken many trips down there, many of you have been on that, then okay, we got a good relationship, but there's not a connection here. We don't have anything we can work with them besides prayer. And there was. And then the last thing, okay, Lord, what is the strategy so that we focus and we're like I believe we want to be like a rifle and not a shotgun. Do sniper shots and not just shotgun, just hoping something hits and misses. And sometimes this takes a little while to get there. And so this was the strategy over 2 years ago, because it took a little while to figure it out, what his vision was. And I visited all of his churches, visited this place. Okay, is there an overlap here? Can we help? And so about 2-3 years ago, we came up with what I call the three L's. This is their church strategy. It may differ from church to church, not in the Dominican Republic, but somebody here. We've helped other churches that were on the verge of shutting down. We came along and helped them get restored to not shut down. But anyway, and this wasn't the model we used in the other two countries we were spent 10 years each in. But here it fit. Land or locations to meet. Their local leadership was all volunteers, poorly educated in the secular world, almost no education in the biblical world. And then help their leader, which is Ramon. He's preached here many times. He'll come again. With his leadership challenges of pastoring these churches. He had six churches. So on the first one, real quick, he had six churches. Only one of them, which was the original one, had a land and a building. All the other ones were renting. Some of them couldn't find a place to rent. And they met in courtyards, all different places for years now. Those that had a rental place, RC, or Relationship Church, paid the rent each month through your generous general offerings, paid the rent of those six buildings. Now we're talking, you know, it sounds like a lot because you're used to America. It's about $300 a month. About average of $50 a church, but they didn't have it, so the ones that we could find a place. But we said long term, they need their own piece of land and they need their own building, just for permanence, for the community to know who they are, because sometimes after 5 or 6 months, they'd lose their rent, somebody else would pay more, and they'd go somewhere else or whatever, or the building would be sold out from under them. So you got six. One of them was the headquarters already had their own land and building, so you had five others. So by June of this year, so that was 2 years ago, by June of this year, maybe July, depends on how fast they can build it, he had six left. He had five that needed a place to meet. Three more, land has already been built, and buildings will be on them by probably July or August. So that's four out of the six in 2 years. That's a major accomplishment from what you guys have done here and other churches have helped support. And go to the next slide. The first one of those five, we got to visit. So we've had three of them have land for a little while, so that's four out of the six. The other two, we're still trying to find land in a building. It's very hard to find land in buildings there. And so the first one was built. That's the pastor, Isabel. We committed the building. Hadn't been open hardly at all. We went there this past week, committed the building and her. Go to the next slide. This is that's the inside of that building. Simple concrete blocks, metal roof. That's John there, rebuking them and judging them. John would be the last one of the five to do that. He was preaching, did a great job. Go to the next one. Skip that one. We'll come back to it. I put them in the wrong order. This is the second one that's being built right now. In the next month or two, it should be done. It's about double the size of the other one. What's that? It's got actually going to have two little restrooms off to the side. And the other one didn't. You tailor these to the needs of the people and who's there. The third one, we don't have a picture, just a piece of land. After this one's done, they're going to go build it. Now, that's six churches. He actually has a seventh church that's coming up under him. It's a church of Haitians. This is a big deal. I'll let them talk about it if it comes up. Haitians are hated by the Dominicans. You have to know the history. They're on the other side of the island. Very, very racist. It goes both ways. If you want to know more, we can talk about it another time. But there were several meetings where they came and we worshiped together. It's the first time I've ever seen that in the Dominican Republic. When I was working with a previous guy, they had Haitians under them, but they had their own service. So this is a big deal. So go back one slide, and they actually have their own land. It's not paid off, and they have this, it's very, very rough building. There's no walls halfway up, and that rafters, I was just like, keep it up as long as we're here, okay? John, again, he's the center of attention tonight, I guess. He was in the back, and every once in a while, he'd put his hand on that white rafter, and you could see there's nothing on the right side. And I'm like, John, do not swing from the rafters tonight. This is not a good thing. Just maybe. And it was so crowded. But so they've got their own land and building, but it's got to be finished out. So after we finish that third one on that piece of land, we're going to, you know, with your help and offerings, we're going to do whatever needs. I'm not even quite sure what needs to be done to this building. And it might need to be torn down and started over. But so that's cool. On their leadership part, the Lord gave us an idea this past week, and I'm sure some of them will talk about it. We had our fourth. The Lord gave us the idea to, instead of going from church to church, because there's seven of them, you can spend a long time, even if you go two or three a day, take Friday and Saturday and just do leadership training. So we had our fourth one this time. And last fall, the third one, we had probably 20 people there. This time it's probably 45 to 50 people. It depends. I didn't actually count them, so I heard different. It was amazing. That for the first time, it was like, what are we doing here? We don't know how to act. We don't know how to behave. We fed them lunch. You know, they just weren't used to Western-style type training. But this time, they're ready. They got their notebooks. They're ready to go. All of us taught sometime. Well, John talked to the satellite. He talked to the churches, and then the other four of us did leadership lessons along with Ramon. And so we've really trained them. The first three books of our growth journey is translated into Spanish. We didn't do it this time, but last time I was there, we graduated 32 people that had gone through that discipleship training. So it's working, and then we work with Ramon a lot. What are your challenges? How can we help you? Who wants to go next? All right. Yeah, I had to start randomly picking you out.
All right, so we landed at 3:30. At 3:35, we got off the plane. No, I'm joking. If I pause and make silly faces like this, I'm trying to make this last longer than 10 minutes. All right. No, it was great. Where do I begin? There was a lot that unfolded during this trip, a lot that we've all been praying for, but maybe wasn't expecting, or maybe I'm the only one that wasn't expecting things to happen as quick as they did. And I'm not going to say too much about that, because I'm sure others have plenty to say about that. When I did speak at the picture you saw, spoke at Bajarana. That's the, did I say that right? Bajarana? Bajarona. Did I say that right, Chad? Close enough. I did. Well, I did look at him. You're right. Yeah, okay. Right. After this trip especially, right? We all got, everyone got a nickname during this trip, and it was really weird. I think Craig started that too. But Chad wound up, Chad went through three or four nicknames. He wound up being Chatbot in the end. But that's a story he can tell you if he wants to. But at the Bajarona Church, I got to speak, and my message was addicted to the saints. So I spoke on that, and it was great. And I thought, well, I don't know if it penetrated their hearts or not. But I told them, one thing I told them was to go that extra step, to go that extra mile. For instance, or as an example, when you give someone a hug, give them a back scratch. And several of them looked at me like, back scratch? That's weird. Anyway, I thought, when we left there, I thought, well, I don't know. That may have gone over like a lead balloon. But maybe someone got something, you know, praise God. And they all, everyone that was with me encouraged me, oh, you did great. Oh, that was right on, spot on. The Lord is with you. It was great. I didn't think anything of it until the last night we was there. And I was giving everyone a hug. A few of them, actually several of them, gave me a back scratch. I'm like, that's it, Lord. The Lord is good. And at that last night, we did go to the Haitian church in the Haitian ghetto. And it was completely crazy. It was the best service, really. The people there, they love the Lord like you wouldn't believe. And one thing that caught all of our attention is at least half of them, when they came in for the first time before the service started, the first thing they would do is get on their knees on a chair and start praying. All of them, right? And that was kind of humbling. Yeah, it was dirt, concrete. It was filthy. But there was men there, a lot of men there, which you don't see a lot of men in these churches. That was a blessing. It was a ton of kids from all ages. And some of the little kids had me and Brian all tore up, right? We love that. He loved it more than I did. I also want to say thank you, Brian, for coming on this trip, and Tom. I know it was a huge blessing to us for y'all to be there, to be a part, and how you served the Lord and served the people there was great. I really appreciate it. What else? Oh, yeah. So one thing weird that freaked everyone out, after that last service, we was out on the street. Chad, unfortunately, had to be the chauffeur, bus driver, the whole trip. So him and Tom were gone, taking a crew back to wherever. We was out on the street. There was probably 40 or 50 people out on the street. And this lady walked up to me. She had a plate. And she opened it up, and there was a spoon, and there was food. And she said something. I couldn't understand what she said. And she got the spoon of food, and I said, Lord. And I heard the Lord say, just take it. She's trying to bless you. So she spoon-fed me whatever she had on that plate. I could hear Chad and Brian. They were like, Lord, rest his soul. If he falls out on the ground, there's no ambulance, Lord. Just we commit his spirit to you, Lord. He's dead. And I took the bite, and I ate it. Later on, a little while later, I walked back over to them, and he's like, why did you do that? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, well, we'll know in 6 hours if you're safe or not. And I did make it with no problems, no after. Yeah, I heard God, and she blessed me. It didn't taste bad either. It tasted pretty good. So the food there was excellent. We got to eat some great food, enjoy some great times. And the last thing I'll say is that the other thing that I've been praying for since probably last year, before we went on that last time, is for them to become self-sufficient. And we've all been praying about this, racking our brains. And I think I believe God has answered that prayer. It's in its infancy for sure, but I do see a light, and I see an ending, and I think God's going to be doing tremendous work there. And I'm so honored and humbled and blessed, and all the other good words to be a part of it. I love you guys. Thank you for all your support. It's wonderful. God bless you. Brian, come on down. You got a new car. No.
I went so that I could spend 7 days with John. So it was. No, I'll keep it pretty short. Couple of just personal victories. I've been kind of handcuffed for about 10 years or so from being able to do something like this. And so it was a wonderful personal victory that I was able to participate in this trip. Another one was a good 20 years or so ago. I went with Craig and Tony. Some of you may remember Tony Giamanco. We went to Bulgaria and did some similar leadership conference and stuff, and et cetera. And I preached in a gypsy church. And Craig says he doesn't remember it, but it scarred me for life. I felt like I failed miserably in trying to teach and translate. Teach, because you talk, they have to translate, you got to talk, you got to translate. And so it was really nice to feel like I overcame that on this trip. So they said I did a good job, but nobody really, you know, didn't speak Spanish, so I guess I did. But anyway, no, it was a great trip. I see, you know, the biggest thing, and there's not a big heavy revelation here. The biggest thing is, you know, we as a church have been involved with Ramon, you know, for years down in the DR. And even before that with Vaughn Gordon, my oldest two, Courtney's husband, David, and my second oldest, Andrew, had gone down there on a trip with Vaughn Gordon, you know, to the DR. And so, you know, there's just no replacement of being able to go down and actually see the people, see the place, connect with the people, see their worship, see their heart for God, their passion for God, their gratefulness for you to be there. I can't really describe that, but that's worth it in and of itself. Just to feel like you're connecting with that culture and those people and what's going on down there. It was, you know, we've all seen Ramon preach here many times. It was fantastic to see him among his people, his leaders, and just, you know, how much they love him and his heart for them, you know, was a treasure, you know, to be able to see all that. It actually was more like 60, 65 people that were there on Friday. So it was an amazing turnout. The group of guys that we were with and the time that we had together, it's just kind of hard to, I'm not going to bore you with, et cetera, but it was really good. It was wonderful to meet Tom. I can't wait to meet his better half over here, but it was wonderful to have Tom with us. So that was a blessing. There's one other thing I was going to say. I just recap, probably, you know, the highlight was definitely the Haitian service, you know, on that Sunday night. Just the spirit of the people, their eagerness just to be there and worship the Lord. There was actually a second Haitian church. We found out later, one of the reasons it was so packed is one of the other satellite churches had come in to participate, and it was also why it was so packed with people. I don't know how many people were outside that little building. There's no telling, no way to count. Yeah, so it was really special. And then, you know, as we all know, Craig's poured his heart into this for so many years, and the church has. I mean, like you said, been a lot of money, a lot of giving from this church, a lot of trips, which is a sacrifice of everybody's time. But, you know, a lot of your passion and heart and prayer and time spent, and it's pretty awesome to watch you in motion, you know, with and seeing all these years and the fruit that it's bearing was precious to me to get to just sit on the sidelines and observe, you know, to see that fruit, you know, getting born and et cetera. So it's a good trip. And I know what a ready route is, by the way. So, you know, hopefully that'll be shared today.
So I got to set the record straight before Tom speaks. Craig introduced him as somebody that works for me and with me and as a business owner. but he's also one of my best friends. And it was just a blessing like you can't imagine to get to do this with you, buddy. So anyway, share with us.
Why'd you have to mess me up like that, Chad? That's not what I wanted to happen. So I really didn't want to go on this trip. I went because Chad invited me, and I knew he was going to keep inviting me. And I was trying to figure out every other way to get out of it, even at the last minute. And I was scared. I didn't want to get sick. I didn't want to have. I've had a heart attack before, and I didn't want to have another one down in the Dominican Republic. And the day before, I called my essentially the controller for my company, who has a lot of wisdom, and I'm just like, Katie, I need some help here. I don't want to go. What do I do? And she says, well, Tom, I want you to call Angie Oberst, and I want you to buy medical insurance so that if you have a problem, they can get you out. And sure enough, I did, and I spent, it was the best $215 of my life, and I bought insurance that would pay $1 million to get me out of the Dominican Republic if I needed it. So my faith was not in the Lord, it was in that insurance policy. There's two passages that I'm going to share that relate to this trip. And the first one, and I would say this undoubtedly applies to Craig, and then it really applies to Chad's response to Craig, and then to some degree my response to Chad. And it was this when Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And I think that this, the work that's going on down in the Dominican Republic, and I've thought about this with you, Craig. In fact, I talked to John Ramig about this yesterday, and kind of the work going on in Romania, Bulgaria, Kenya, correct? And I think that, you know, Craig, I do want to honor you that you have been following Christ, and as you have done that, other men and women have followed Christ. And I think that because of that, Chad follows Christ better, and because of Chad, I follow Christ better. So that was probably the as I come back, that was, I think, likely, believe it or not, the greatest example I caught, is that now as I follow Christ better, others will follow Christ better. But again, it's just a pattern, right? It's the Apostle Paul, and then whoever followed him. Was it Barnabas? Was Barnabas with Paul? Okay. But it's just a line, right? That as we follow Christ more and more intimately, as we see the needs of people more and more intimately, it exposes others to those needs. And today, I'm getting really tired of all coincidences, but I'm sitting in church, and let me see this here. And we're going through 1 John. I live up in Chattanooga. And this is what 1 John says. This is how we know what real love is. Jesus gave his life for us, so we should give our lives for our brothers and sisters. Suppose someone has enough to live and sees a brother or sister in need, but does not help. Then God's love is not living in that person. And as I listened to that today, I was so grateful for the trip that we went on, because I saw more clearly than I ever have in my entire life the need for other brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I've seen it in America. I have traveled to other places, but I genuinely have never seen anything like this. And as I sat on the beach one morning as I was preparing for my little speech to the leadership team, I'm watching a group of women. There were probably 20 of them, I guess. I don't really know. And they're picking up rocks. And I'm trying to figure out what this is. They're piling up all these white rocks on the coast. And then over the next day or so, I see them packaged up in bags. I find out that these women are collecting rocks that are going to be put in these bags, and they're going to sell these bags for, let's say, 70 cents. And then we're going to go down to Home Depot and buy these stupid bags of rocks for $5 to $10. We're not going to think a thing of it. But these women are making around $2 a week. And I'm watching this. Breaks my heart, like, thankfully, it should. I then go to this Haitian church. And as I'm leaving, there's all of a sudden this entity or a person running around below me. And it's a grown teenager that is basically stumbling around on stumps of club feet. And I'm watching this, and the Lord just breaks me. And again, this is nothing new. This happens almost every time some white guy goes to a poverty-stricken environment. And I was sure it was going to happen to me, but it sure did. And all of a sudden, I'm going through. Now, for me, I'm kind of a numbers guy. It's part of what my deal is. And I'm just going through the numbers, and I'm finding out $200 a month essentially takes care of a family unit. And I'm just going through the numbers over and over and thinking about this one church, this Haitian church. I haven't stopped thinking about it. It's $6,500, and they're out of debt, and they have a building. So again, I'm in a world in which my church is doing a $3.5 million upgrade, which is fine. I talked to another man the other day, and he's telling me that he just oversaw a $140 million upgrade for a high school. And I just begin to do the math as just kind of a normal guy. And I'm like, the return on investment with this group of people is beyond off the charts. And I'm grateful for those people who can drop $2, $3, $5. I'm sure some of these folks down in Florida are dropping $10, $20 million on this high school, and I bet it's going to be great. Happy for it. Three of Trump's grandchildren go there, so I guess that explains some of it. Literally. This is the guy that's going to connect us to kind of the DR's government folks, by the way. Seth Cohen. But you just realize, and it's as I was listening to Craig and I was listening to the heart of this church and how you all have given constantly to take care of these people around the world, I'm just blown away and broken in a way that I have never been broken. And I've been on full-time ministry. I used to minister to kids in Portland, Oregon. My wife and I were Young Life leaders. I was on staff. And I mean, they were poor. I mean, we were in the poorest part of Portland, right? It was nothing compared to what I witnessed just a week ago. So I guess my thought is that this experience, as I observed it, and I've got videos of this, the church, the Haitian church, the church in Ojeda, which is where Ramon is at. The strategy is fantastic. The strategy of engaging a man like Ramon, who obviously loves the Lord, who obviously has a gift, who knows the language, who knows the culture, makes complete sense. But even as I'm listening to Ramon's story, I'm thinking, holy smokes, we've got to continue to help this man. And when I mean we, that means I've already got calls out to my friends. My mom and dad are going to be given, and so, because at the end of the day, number one, I'm committed to this Haitian church being funded. I couldn't deal with it anymore myself. If that, at the very least, these folks get out of debt and they have their church, great. But there's just it just genuinely is a strategy that I think, Craig, is, from my observation, working. And I do think that Relationship Church should be encouraged by the work that you all have funded and have supported, because there is no question in my mind that what is occurring in the Dominican Republic is working. Now, let me give you, this is the part that is kind of, again, this white dude from Chattanooga finds pretty funny. But you go down there and, you know, we have all these issues ostensibly about racism, et cetera, in the United States of America. But I'm watching these folks that are racist toward each other. And in many regards, they look kind of the same to me. So it's like, I don't know what your guys' problem is. But it's part of it is oppression, right? They've oppressed each other. The Haitians have oppressed the Dominicans. The Dominicans, now the shoe's on the other foot, so they're doing it to the Haitians. But genuinely what was so beautiful, and this comes out of John 17, when Jesus prays that we would all be together in him so that the world would believe that he was sent, that's exactly what is happening in this work, New Generation. And why I'm convinced of that is because they are poor. So I end up calling, excuse me if I'm going too long. So I call my cousin who about this, who is kind of this rich dude, and he's connected to other rich dudes down in Puerto Rico and Brazil. And I call him up and I say, hey buddy, I'm having this experience in Dominican Republic. Do you know anyone there? And sure enough, he gives me this connection to this pastor. And I mention it to Ramon, and Ramon's like, yeah, I know that guy. Everybody knows this guy. But what I realized as I read between the lines is a lot of these other pastors don't want to have anything to do with the poor churches in the Dominican Republic. And sure enough, as I've done a little deep dive on the Dominican Republic, the southern border of this country is the poor part of the Dominican Republic. And a lot of churches don't want to deal with them because there's no money down there. There's no way these people can give money to a larger campaign. They can't even sustain themselves yet. Now, to John's point, I think there's some potential ways that we're going to all work together to try to see about providing some jobs. Chad is interested in, and you guys can pray about this, not to call you out, Chad. Chad's interested in thinking of some agroforestry stuff down here in the Dominican Republic to begin to give these guys a better yield, better jobs. Just so you guys know, you all have a rock star in this church in Chad Castleman related to the nursery industry. There's not many guys I know that know more about it and have a heart. And there is not another one that has the heart for the Lord with it as well. And the capacity to bring change. And then the other one is potentially to make some of these ready root pots that are so secret and exceptionally great and have really brought all of the success to Chad's nursery. But there really is some opportunity that, like I said, I made a couple of calls, and sure enough, I've met a man that has the connection to the president of the Dominican Republic, has the connection to some of the governors. Well, it's this dude, Seth Cohen. So we'll find out how all of that plays out. You know, you get excited, but these guys care about the Dominican Republic. There's a lot of people that care about it. But what is so fascinating, they don't care about the southern part of this country. Like this dude who has lived in the Dominican Republic for 9 years, his kid is now the headmaster of a school that takes care of all of the tobacco families, all of the big ag families. They've never gone down there. So you just begin to realize, okay, this is a forgotten people. And you guys have been supporting Ramon, who has a heart for these folks. So there's no question that it encourages me greatly. I know that... I'll give one more thing that I'm done. It was really kind of cute. My daughter, My daughter texts me while I'm down there, and she needs, I think I'm literally in the middle of this Haitian experience, and she texts me, "Hey, Dad, I need the Netflix code." And I'm like, that is the perfect juxtaposition of our lives, right? I mean, I'm in the middle of this deal in the Dominican Republic. "Hey, Dad, I need the Netflix code." And I say, "All right, Savannah, I'll give it to you, but this may be the last time I give it to you because we may need to stop Netflix and give that money to the church down here in Haiti." And her response was, "Dad, I was afraid this was going to happen if you went down there." So with that, Chad, if you'll, I think you're next. So watch it. If you go down to the Dominican Republic, you may have to get rid of your Netflix.
Let me say this while Chad's coming up. You know, so I took it on Chad's recommendation. Okay, he can go. I didn't know you. But, man, you fit right in, buddy. You were just like one of us, for better or worse. I'll leave that for their judgment.
Yeah, exactly.
It flowed. We were just all on the same wavelength. I can't imagine somebody any better than you just joining in as part of the team.
Great gift. Well, thank you, Tom.
I will say this.
I kid like I did several times here and do witty stuff. He actually is better at it than I am, so that really got him in. I do a wit. He came back with one better. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're cooking good here now.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. I have no wit. You know, I speak slow, and it took me like 5 trips to obtain the comfortable position with everybody. First one, so way to go, buddy. I'm just going to recap some things because I know it's getting late, and I don't want to take forever here, but We had the 3 points up there: relationship, vision, strategy. Okay, so let's talk about relationship first. Ramon's been over there since, well, he spent some of his childhood there, but I think ministry-wise, he's been over there since 1996. Did I get that year right? 30 years. The first 20 of it, pretty much over there by himself. And he's over there by himself, you know. He's probably in the United States at this point, but he's spending himself over there. Like, I don't, probably 30% of his income ends up over there feeding kids and taking care of people. So he's really, like, he's paid the price. He's earned the respect of the community, of the communities that he's involved with, because of the way that he lived his life. You don't really realize the depth until I've known Ramon for probably 4 years now, and we've become pretty good friends, and to the point where we call each other once in a while and catch up, and we go visit him and his wife in Tampa once or twice a year. But I've never heard this stuff until this trip. So the relationships take time. And sometimes, for me, I'm an impatient person. Oh, my goodness. It takes way more time than I want it to. But as, you know, you grow up, you learn that it doesn't do any good to force it. But you're invested in them. You know, we take our time, get in the truck, drive 8 hours to Tampa to spend, you know, a day and a night, and come on back, and we get to know them better. So relationship's a big deal. And of course, like with Tom and Brian and John and Craig on this trip, like the relationships between us, I go on about that, but it's all like, it's all wrapped up, okay? The vision. Ramon's got the vision. Craig talked about it earlier as far as, okay, Lord, how do we show me the person, Ramon, the relationship, and let's hear his vision, and let's see how we can come alongside of it. Well, you know, you've been knowing him for 10 years. How long before the vision really came together? Yeah, and it's probably at that point it was still a little blurry, but I think 10 years into his relationship, that vision is pretty focused right now. So this is all, like, we're talking about Dominican Republic, but I want to encourage you guys to think about the circumstances the Lord has you in, and take the same kind of mindset towards it, because it works. I mean, we're a apostolic church. Is that fair, Craig? And so, you know, if you're here, it's part of our DNA, like, to think like this. And even if it's not, you know, we hear it all the time from him and these things that we do. Okay, so the vision has really come into focus. The strategy, man, you know, it's like so much came forth during those 5 or 6 days together about the ministry, about relationships, about the leaders, about the economic situation. From all that stuff, there's going to be some fruit. I don't even question whether there's going to be fruit. It's what kind and how much at this point. And we're just leaning into the Lord to show us, you know, the right places to focus. So Ramon, around the first of the year, was praying for his ministry this upcoming year. I think he shared this with us last time Hillary and I were down to visit him in Tampa. He said 2026 was going to be the year of connection and expansion. Those two words. So, connection. He meets a Haitian pastor that, you know, has already been discussed, all the problems between the two cultures, etc. But the Haitian pastor wants to join Ramon's ministry. And so there's a little, you know, tiptoeing around that, making sure that it's a good fit for both ways. You know, you're trying to be mature about it because you don't just want to jump into something without seeking the Lord on it and thinking it through a little bit. But it ends up, they come under Ramon's ministry. So let's say Ramon's ministry had 500 people in it before this. Now, because he's taken on this church that, oh, by the way, had two churches, now it's grown 50%. 250 people came from the Haitians, 750 people. The leadership conference, first one we did, so we're on our third one, 15, 20, 50, okay? Expansion. And not only was it 50 people, but they're all really excited to be there. They really did have their notebooks and the whole time. They kind of know the drill at this point, so the nerves are gone. So the expansion. There's going to be, you know, more land and more buildings, expansion. There's going to be, you know, some sort of economic projects, expansion. Connection and expansion. My buddy comes on this trip with us, and he's got this whole network that nobody even knew about that, you know, has access to things they need, you know, political connections to, for example, get the Haitian pastor his work permit back so that he's legal status in the DR again. That doesn't happen like normally down there. It's not the U.S. You got to be able to pull a few strings for Pastor Walter. And now we know somebody that can do that. So anyway, I think it's really just the snowball is getting bigger, okay? And this is the way the Lord does. It's not just in Dominican Republic. It's when you focus on the Lord personally, when you stay in the lane that he's got you in, no matter what, you grow up, you meet some other grown-ups along the way, you support them, and ministry happens. It's like you don't even really need to do anything other than just those what we just said. So anyway, I just want to encourage everybody with that. I'm very thankful for this church. Because I don't think if we didn't have this church and the spiritual DNA that comes with this church, I don't think this stuff could happen. I mean, it's kind of like the incubator here for a lot of this stuff. And when it gets in you, you take it with you. And then you build the relationships, you make a deposit with them, so on and so forth, and it's good. Like, I couldn't be more at peace. I couldn't be more excited. Anyway, thank you, Pastor.
Darren. We usually do one in the spring, trip in the spring. We usually do one in the late fall. This year we did one in early, late February for different reasons. And then another one's coming up in June. We moved it from late fall to June at Ramon's request. And so we've been usually do two trips a year. At the end of the one, at the end of this trip. So this next trip, it's going to be a format we've never done before. It's going to be evangelistic outreach, two nights out in a little park. It's not even a little park, strip of grass in this village. We call it a city. It's more like a village. Ojeda. So it's going to be very different. I'm not going to do the leadership retreat and not speak as many churches, but it's God. Some other time we can give more of the insight. It was actually a vision Chad had, the Lord gave him last fall to work with the youth. So we're moving off of that vision. It's a real team thing. So that's in June, about 3 months away. So the last night, Ramon, I don't know if how many of you guys were there, but last night Ramon looked at me and he goes, so we won't have another leadership retreat this year. I said, no, that's not the plan at this point. And he goes, it's going to be a year till we have a leadership retreat. And I said, at this point, and he's never asked me for anything. And he turns to me the first time, he goes, can we have one in the fall and then do leadership training again? So, I mean, what am I going to say? No, forget you, we're not going to do that. And so we'll have something in the fall. We got to work out the dates and go back. I say all that, so if any of you have been on trips in the past, want to go again, any of you have not ever been on a trip and want to go, there'll be a third opportunity sometime. We'll have to work it out, probably, you know, October-ish type of date. Because I'm waiting on a date for another trip that I'll have to work around. But if any of you want to go, there'll be a third opportunity, and we'll make it work.